Alvin and Lawrence Ubel have been regular guests on the show longer than anyone here can remember. Somehow they started being called the gurus of how-to, but they're also known more officially as the Accurate Building Inspectors, based in Brooklyn. Each season brings its own particular needs for home repair, and since the weather is so much harder to predict now, it makes the Ubels all the more helpful. I'm happy to welcome them back here to advise us on all sorts of things that can go wrong. Once again, excited that you're both here. If any of you are out there and have specific questions, you can call right now at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-9692. And you can also send us your tweets. Our handle is WNYC Midday. You know, I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I have you both in here. It's one of the great things about being a host.
Why should you not?
I have so many questions. I'll start with this one. For those of you who cannot see me, obviously none of you can since this is radio, but I have beautiful hair. It's beautiful long hair. The one unfortunate thing is it often clogs my bathroom drain. What's the best way to unclog a drain? Is Drano not a good idea?
Well, the Drano is pretty good. I mean, you have to be very careful with it because you should never use hot water when you use any of these chemicals, because hot water could actually cause it to explode, really, right in your face.
Huh.
You got to use cold water all the time. So you're going to use Drano or liquid plumber or clog out, and there's a lot of host of companies. It's some type of sulfuric acid, sometimes it's another kind of an acid, but what it does is the acid uses the hair as a nutrient in order to neutralize the acid itself, and it dissolves the hair, and then it disappears, or any other kind of nutrient that may be in that drain.
But one of the things you have to determine is, why is it clogging? Is it clogging because the clog is downstream of the trap? We all know what the trap is. It's that little U-shaped pipe configuration underneath the sink, which is there to prevent sewer gases from coming in. We all think it's there to catch our jewelry, but that's not why it's there. It's just an added benefit, win-win. But it actually stops the sewer gases from the plumbing system from entering into the house, which would be highly disgusting and actually unhealthy. But where is the leak happening? Is the leak happening right at the stopper? If the leak is happening right at the stopper, then all you have to do is underneath is remove the stopper arm, pull that out, pull the stopper on, and a lot of disgusting hair will come out with it. And then just clean that up and you put it back. If the clog is either in the trap or in what we call the drain arm, then you might actually have to dismantle all those pieces also. And actually, they're supposed to come together, come apart and go together relatively easily. They're not threaded together. Usually, right, they have pressure fittings. It would behoove everybody to know how to do that, because this is simple plumbing, right, and that's really what you should do. You can't use the, whether it's clobber or Drano or whatever the material, too many times, because those pieces are very thin, especially if they're either the brass, if they're the brass or the coated or the chrome coated brass. The PVC, on the other hand, you can do it forever,
right?
Because we all watch Breaking Bad, and we know that those acids don't really affect plastic. Okay.
The only thing is, the reason if it's very thin, while you're using the clobber or the or any of the other chemicals, if you put your hand on the pipe underneath, it gets really hot.
Okay,
that's the activity that's taking place from the acid and all of the nutrients that are being dissolved.
I've been using the hot water with the Drano forever.
You should not.
You just saved my life, sir.
Very dangerous.
But another trick also is, which is, especially on bathtubs, is if your tub doesn't have a screen or a strainer on top of it, which a lot of them don't, buy one of those. They make these little screens. They look like a window screen, but they're in a round cup shape, and you put it over the drain and let that catch up. And actually, one of the major problems, it's not just the hair, but if you use hair conditioner or that kind of goopy stuff.
I do.
Yeah, that is causing more of the problem down the tub drain or the shower drain than in the sink drain. The sink drain is just generally hair.
Because that kind of chemical solidifies. It makes like chunky
And gelatinous inside, and just lovely overall. Okay,
I'm not going to stop using coconut curls, but I do.
Well, I would expect you not to do that.
So go ahead.
Why would you? Beauty is paramount.
Let's go to Bob in Brooklyn. Bob, you there?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah, hi there. Hi, Alan, Larry. I got a one-family home and a lot of cement area and a deck made out of cement, concrete, and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And I've had, you know, sometimes the little repairs, you got to do a relatively small hole, sometimes a larger area. And also I get on the deck, I get these little hairline cracks.
Right.
So I've used all kinds of stuff, sand mix, and you have other stuff that's pre-mixed, and some stuff you add water. They got some stuff they say it's crack resistant. And so first of all, for the little hairline cracks, I notice in a bottle there's a liquid. But, I mean, it seems a little dangerous. They say don't get it on your skin. So what could you recommend for a larger hole, like sand mix or something that's pre-mixed or crack-resistant, and also for the little hairline cracks? What could you recommend?
Well, I have, you know, the problem is getting it all to match. That's the problem, you know, because once you mix one kind of concrete or another, they do tend to stop matching. But I have to tell you, one of the things I found a lot of success with is they make this self-leveling concrete. And what that does is that fills up all the cracks and achieves its own level. The only problem is it has a nice gray color to it. And the surface, you have to rough it up to make it match. But I have to tell you, I've had some of that stuff outside. And the problem with concrete, why it cracks a lot, is if it's not poured thick enough or it's been poured too wet, it will tend to crack. The drier the concrete, you really need to follow the mixing water instructions to the letter, because if you put too much water in, it causes the concrete surface to crack and deteriorate. So try that self-leveling concrete, which you can get at Home Depot or any other home center. And also clean the areas up very well.
Yeah, a little bit of knowledge out there. A lot of people don't understand how concrete works. Concrete is actually dehydrated stone. And what they do is, in order to make concrete, they extract the water from the stone, and the stone starts to fall apart, and they grind it up. So therefore, you have to follow the instructions of water-cement ratio meticulously. The water actually becomes part of the concrete. It doesn't evaporate away like a wet towel or a wet piece of...
Or actually, more like glue. Like when you use Elmer's glue, the water is just the vehicle. Once the glue sets up, the water is gone. That's not how it is with concrete. If you took concrete and mixed up a bunch of it and put it into a jar and sealed it tight like a ball jar, there'll be no water in there. It'll just be concrete. The water just becomes part of the concrete. It's part of the chemical reaction.
I got another question for you. This is another personal one. But my parents have had a leak in they have a leak in their ceiling of their kitchen because they got their bedroom bathroom above it. So we've had plumbers look at it for years and they don't find the drip. And so they seal it up again. They seal up the ceiling, and then within months the leak's back.
What is right above it? Is it a shower, a tub, a toilet, or a sink?
I think it's the sink.
It's the sink.
That could be a difficulty because maybe the leak is inside the bowels of the building itself. The leak can be a crack.
But I have to say,
pinhole thing in a pipe or something.
I'm going to say that most likely it's not the sink that's directly above the hole. You'd have to take it. What I would do is, when I troubleshoot this kind of thing, I take a tape measure out and I measure underneath and I find a constant point, like an exterior wall or something, and I keep measuring until I find exactly where we're talking about, so I know what's leaking. It's highly unlikely it's the sink that's leaking, and I'll tell you why. Because if the sink's pipes were leaking, if it was the water leaking, the supply water, it would be constantly wet. The plaster would be falling off the ceiling. It's most likely the drain that's leaking. If the drain was leaking, it would be leaking underneath the cabinet. So you would probably see it in the cabinet. So it's probably either the toilet lead bend, which is the pipe connection underneath the toilet seat, or it's the shower pan or the shower drain that's leaking, which is where I'm kind of going with the shower pan.
With a toilet, it could be the wax ring that dissolved. If the toilet is loose and shakes a little bit, that wax ring that's holding and making it waterproof.
Just to back up a second, the wax ring is because a toilet just sits on top of the flange. If you've ever seen the toilet connection, it's a hole in the floor, 4-inch, 3-inch hole with a flange around it, a bolting flange. You put a piece of beeswax ring around that, and then you set the toilet into it, and that makes the seal between the toilet and the flange. Continue.
Yes. And so if that moves around, what happens is you get a little bit of a horizontal leak and dripping and dripping and dripping, and then it shows up someplace.
And also the other thing you should look for, what color is the stain? If it's wastewater, if it's, you know, there's three kinds of water. There's clear water, there's brown water, there's gray water, which comes out of sinks, okay. And then there's brown water, and that's pretty obvious where that's coming from. Yeah. What color is the water, and does the water have any kind of impurity? Is it coming from a sink or a shower? It'll tend to be a little cleaner, but it will still have soapy residues and stuff. That's how you kind of...
Or if it has a familiar smell.
Yeah, that's with the brown. That's why I don't think it's a toilet.
How much is that going to cost to fix?
It's not weird. A lot to fix. You just have to... I have to say at this point...
Yeah, it's worth it.
I would open up the ceiling.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. Just cut a hole in the ceiling and then see what's going on where the leak is, and then put the drywall... And then put plaster or drywall back. It's not... People make it more complicated than it is.
Right.
It's not.
I know that you came prepared with a radio word game. Can you tell us what it's about?
Sure.
You want to take it?
Yeah, sure. Why not? We play this game. Everyone, our regular listeners know that, about architectural terms. And today, I'll read it. What is the architectural, engineering, and or Roman name given to an entryway into a theater or rows of seats in a theater? This term is still in use in many theaters, amphitheaters, and stadiums throughout the world.
Okay, let me give the number again. The number is 212-433-9692. Also, you can send your tweets to @WNYCMidday. Let's see if we can get.
But I just want to clarify one thing. This everyone knows this. You go to a stadium. You go to Shea Stadium, whatever.
City Field.
Thank you. I'm very old. City Field or Yankee Stadium, and you go down the rows of the aisles. What are those aisles really called when you go to before you get into your seat? Okay.
We got a Peter in Huntington. He has a question. Peter, you there?
Hey, Peter.
Yes, hi.
Yes, what's up?
Hi. I have a 1910 house with an unfinished basement, and when it rains hard, I have a little bit of water coming in, like on a couple of the walls of the basement. I want to know if I need to be worried about that or if I need to do something to stop the water from coming in.
A little bit of water is not bad. It's annoying. But my question is, are your downspouts or rain leaders draining next to your building or away from your building or into storm drains?
They drain next to the building. I have tried to, you know, extend it out, but...
Well, try to extend it out more. Try to extend it out more, like 8 to 10 feet away, and probably this backflowing of water, and also pitching the soil a little... pitch it away from the building and pack it down nice and tight.
Or get a spread block. There's some spread blocks you can buy in Home Depot or anybody like that.
When you mean the spread block where the downspout rain comes
right.
onto.
Yeah, right. So the water is spread out of a longer area
rather than
in a concentrated area.
Exactly. But try that. But the water coming through, not a big deal. But I am nervous about the water being in the basement because it evaporates and then causes a humidity problem. So do you have a dehumidifier in your cellar or basement?
I do. I do vacuum it out, and I keep it dry. But
you have the dehumidifier running, you know, operating all the time, and it drains into a drain.
I do. When I do run it, yes, it drains into
great.
A drain.
Great. Then you're doing everything you need to do. I wouldn't worry that much, but I would try with the downspouts.
Yeah, this house is there over 100 years. I think it's going to got a couple more years to go.
I know, but you want it to be as healthy as possible. And moisture, you know, moisture is kind of like alcohol. A little is good. Too much, not so nice, you know?
I mean, I actually think goes into my next question. So my parents' basement, they do the laundry in there. They got two small windows, but it's so moldy and that the dehumidifier would fix that.
But you get yourself a 70-pint dehumidifier. They make some of them that actually have pumps in them, so you can pump the water up to a sink.
Yeah.
All of them come with a fitting on the back, so you hook a hose up and have it. If you sit it next to a sink or a drain, you don't want to have to be. And this is for everybody. You don't want to have to rely on remembering to empty the bucket, because if you're relying on your memory, you'll empty it once and you'll forget about it, and now it's turned into a piece of art.
Right.
Because
right.
It's no longer a dehumidifier anymore, and so it's kind of useless. So you have to have a constant drain to avoid the human interaction. I set mine at around 55%, 60%. It doesn't have to be set at 50% because it might be on a lot, because it is like running an air conditioner.
Right.
All the time. And I have to tell you, in my house, once it hits like June, July, it's on. It's like it's like game on. It's on all the time.
So it's not an air purifier then.
No, it's an it's a dehumidifier. What it basically is an air conditioner that does nothing except for taking the moisture out of the air. What it does is it has cooling coils.
Yeah.
And what those cooling coils do is they get is the air goes over them, condensates, and the water drips off.
Wow.
But then that cold air is then sent over the heating coils, which normally are on the outside of the air conditioner. And that's why warm air comes out of it, because they use the cold air to cool the warm coils so the process can start over
again. So if the basement is moldy, will that fix that?
Well, it'll stop the moisture and
it'll
stop the mold from growing more. But I have to tell you, anecdotally, this was before Hurricane Irene, which was the fun hurricane, right, as opposed to the not-so-fun hurricane of Sandy. But about a week before that hurricane came, we also had like a weekend of rain. I came into my house after being away for a weekend, smelled like a wet sock, the whole house. Went right out the door, went and got a dehumidifier, plugged it in. By the time I came back the next day from work, the house smelled normal again. So it is moisture. Moisture is a major issue.
I'm speaking with Al and Larry Ubell, our gurus of how-to, who are answering your summertime home repair questions. This is Midday on WNYC. We'll be right back after a break. Well, we're back. We're speaking with Al and Larry Ubell, our gurus of how-to. We got another question. Can we get to Gail in Mamaroneck?
Hi, Gail.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing good. What's going on?
Okay, so I live in a co-op. We put in our kitchen cabinets 24 years ago. We bought them pre-made, and my husband and a friend installed them, and they've been great, except now, 24 years later, they're white painted, and there are like some chips, particularly under the sink where like we bang into it a lot. The mm-hmm. wood is swelled up.
Yep.
There is like a coating of grease on a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like for them to look nice. We clean them, and then like some of the layers of paint start coming off, so cleaning them I don't think is an option. And doing when you replace the doors?
When you just replace the doors.
Refacing.
Refacing,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Refacing is actually quite expensive. We priced it out in the cabinets that we like that are nowhere as good quality as the ones that we currently have.
Mm-hmm.
Would cost about $19,000, which is huge. So
yeah.
I was thinking, kind of, you know, sand them down, smooth them out, and mm-hmm. have them painted maybe at an auto body shop. And I wanted to know your opinion. My husband thinks I'm crazy. Well, so I wanted to know your opinion about that.
Well,
and also what you would recommend.
Well, as far as an auto body shop, I mean, the thing is that, you know, will they use the kind of paint which is, you know, acceptable to wood? Because remember, they paint metal, and we're painting wood. The most important thing is before that, painting them would be a great idea, but the most important thing is to clean them up and sand them up the best you can. There are materials like crud cutter, which takes off all of the excess grease and that sort of thing to get the wood to the cleanest it can be.
Yeah, but you can. It depends upon how handy one is to do this. There is some really great paint that is applied with a brush that if you take the doors off and you lay them flat on a surface and you brush on this kind of paint or whatever color you want, after a while, it's just almost like spray painted. One of the major companies that do that is a company called Rust-Oleum, and that has a finish that is comparable to spraying it on if you want to do it yourself. But if you go to I would not do a body shop. I would try to find the cabinet shop because they know how to sandpaper it down. They know what kind of sandpaper. They wash it. If it has grease on it, they'll use some type of acidity to remove that grease. And then also all the things will be cornered out and it'll be really look beautiful.
I know why she wants to go to a body shop. Because if you go to a cabinet maker, he's going to want to sell you more cabinets. A body shop is not going to sell you more cabinets.
Yeah, but they're going to charge you it's very difficult for them because they're not set up for
Yeah, that's
that kind
really the problem. But I have to say, hand painting them, I mean, I would try one door first in a location that is not as critical and try that door first or that drawer front first and see how it comes out and see if it's acceptable to you and do all the cleaning that you need to do. As far as the bottom of the cabinets, you can always, especially under the sink cabinet, is always the one that gets really wrecked. You can always put in a new piece of plywood over the old plywood and just like a new cover over it. And then, and what we did in ours, because you always have a problem with leaking from the sink, is they do make inserts that go on top of the bottom so it doesn't soak up water. And sometimes they have a little lip around it so it keeps the water in, you know, that area until it fills up and overflows the rim. Yeah. But I would definitely try doing that. The crud cutter works great for getting the grease off. Sanding, use a very fine sandpaper like either 320 or 600 grit, and you would get a great job.
Yes, but if you're going to do it yourself, buy the color that the manufacturer issues. Don't make up your own color, because if you all of a sudden you need to paint something, say a month or a year later, it's going to be a different color. But if you buy it from a manufacturer's color, they match it very well.
I think we have an answer to the quiz question. Let's go to Charles in Brooklyn.
Hey, Charles, what's up?
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What do you think the answer is?
Well, I think I'm somewhat of a ringer here, being an architect.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's a vomitorium.
Yeah. I know. Well, okay. Ringer. Okay.
An admitted ringer.
So, congratulations. What you get for winning is a book my dad wrote called Save Money, Save Energy by Al Ubell and George Merlis. So, hang on and we'll take your name and number and we'll an address and we'll send you one out, okay?
Yes. You'll have it in about a week
or thereabouts. Okay?
Well, that was quick.
Yeah, well, that's the fun of it. Make people think. Anyway, for 5 seconds.
let's go to Lucy in Brooklyn.
Hey, Lucy, what's up?
Hi, I live in a co-op in downtown Brooklyn, a small 1900 building.
Uh-huh.
There's, I think because there's so much more rain in the past few years, the ivy that's actually coming from our neighbor's building is incredibly invasive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having an ongoing discussion with some people in the building who think it's pretty,
mm-hmm.
but I started to tear it down around my windows. It's creeping into the windows in the adjoining building. It's invading the stucco.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm really worried about, aside from those things to the structure, is what the roots are doing. I heard something, I think, on WMYQ last week about these roots kind of following the water.
Oh, you were listening to the podcast on Radiolab. Yeah, you know I was on that. Me and my dad were both on that. It was called Smarty Plants.
Fabulous. And I'm like freaking out here. And I noticed that beside where this vine is, windows aren't closing.
Well, hang on. First of all, if you take anything from the podcast, just talk to the plants. They'll listen to you. Okay? Just tell them not to grow there, because that was the whole idea, is that the plants actually have smarts.
Yeah, but ivy could be... See, the problem with ivy on buildings, if the building is not designed solid concrete or very thick walls, it is an attractant to all kinds of insects and stuff and things like that, because the ivy has blossoms and ants and all other kinds of insects want to get to the blossom, which has nectar in it. And also they have tentacles that go into the concrete and also cause erosion and deterioration of the concrete, because it attracts water and moisture. And in the winter, it expands and it starts to erode the concrete and the brickwork. So I would tell whoever is in charge of the building itself that to get a company that is able to remove them and make sure that they don't regrow again.
But I'm going to say, because it's coming from your neighbor, what I would recommend is at least cutting where the roots start, where they cross onto your property, and start cutting them there and trying to keep them at bay. And it's labor intensive, and they just have to cut all the branches off that are coming onto your property.
That was some very good synergy.
Yeah, look at us.
What are some of the questions that are part and parcel of this time of year? What do you normally get?
The biggest thing with this year, with this time of year, is air conditioning.
Yeah.
And keeping filters clean. If the air conditioner has a foul odor, it's probably not pitched properly. If it's a window unit or a through the wall unit, a lot of people now have these ductless units. You know, let's call them the Mitsubishis, but they're ductless or mini splits. The biggest issue with those is also the condensation. Condensation is probably the biggest problem with all these air conditioning units because it's just managing this really filthy water. It looks clean, it looks clear, but it's far from it. Everything that's in the air is in that water. So the dead skin cells that are floating through the air, the pollen, everything that's in the air in your living space is in that water. And so you want to make sure, and that's why it's very important that the condensate pipes that the water goes through is completely dark. Because if it's clear piping, light gets through it and it starts to grow inside the pipe, whatever's in the pipe. Huh. So in those pipes need to be very dark, you know, either PVC plastic, copper, whatever.
Or sheltered in some way.
Yeah, sheltered in some way. And they should also be of at least a decent diameter. What I usually tend to see is 3/4-inch PVC. I like to see at least 1-inch PVC to give it for buildup. And so when you're putting in that kind of piping, I like a little bit more.
A listener named Maggie wants to know if there's a non-toxic long-term way of dealing with ants.
Well, I find that if it's within your home, I find that I control vermin in my own apartment with denatured alcohol. Huh. I have denatured alcohol, and I put it into a spray bottle, and I spray into the corners or something like that. It has a slight, sometimes pleasant odor in your home, but it evaporates, and if you do that periodically over a period of time, I think the insects get an idea. They also think. They have a brain. And if you do it many, many times, all of a sudden they stop coming. The biggest problem with insects or any kind of vermin is, do you have an attractant in your home that attracts these insects, like droppings on the floor of the kitchen, food someplace, not covering up containers properly, cereals that you just open up the carton and you leave them open. Mm. That all that becomes an attractant to insects. And the idea, control that, you control the insects.
But I'm also going to say there is a product out there. I'm trying to find out what the name of it is, because I've used it, which actually it's this gooey stuff that you put along your baseboard and the ants eat it and they take it back to their nest and it actually kills off the nest. It stops them from breeding. So there's that kind of, you know, the same way we work now with termites also is we don't chlordane the hell out of our houses anymore with all this toxic chemical. We use baiting systems where they eat something, bring it back to their nest, and that kills off the nest that's adjacent to your property. Because remember, termites, like ants, don't really live in your building. They really live in their nest outside the building, and they come to your building to eat. You know, and so that is a process. And
yeah, your building is actually an attractant to the insects.
Yes, so that would work. When I find it out, we'll put it out there.
I'm assuming me not doing dishes for weeks on end is an attractant
That's a bad policy.
Well, I have to say, you know, I'm a home brewer. Yeah. You know, hey Bruminaries, I'm a home brewer, and I have to say the most important thing, because, you know, beer is really sugary, and the most important thing that I do every time I'm done brewing is cleaning. Cleaning is like the most important thing. By the way, there's a great product for people who want to use on their pans to clean stuff. It's called PBW, which stands for Professional Brewer's Wash. And after I brew up a kettle of wort, all this stuff is stuck to the side of it, and to scrub it out is ridiculous. I fill it up with hot water, pour one teaspoon of this stuff in, let it sit overnight. All the debris is at the bottom of the water. It washes out, scrub it out, and it's done.
Amazing. We got another call. Let's go to Ann in Manhattan.
Hi, Ann.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your question?
Okay, it's another basement question. We have a townhouse in the village and where we've been for 21 years, but in the past year we've been traveling a lot. So we're only here about 3 to 6 days out of the month. There are no obvious leaks. When we're here, we have the dehumidifier running all the time. Mm-hmm. But unless we leave the windows open, which we can't do when we're not here.
Of course.
The basement starts to smell like dirty socks, and then the smell has now started creeping up to the garden floor.
Right.
So can I'm worried if it's mold.
Let me ask you a question. Do you leave the dehumidifier running when you're not there?
No.
You should.
Just when we're here. Should we?
Well, yes. For sure.
That's only if she has a drain type.
If she has a
bucket type, it's going to be filled up and it'll shut itself off.
And I can fix that problem because I'm Mr. Fix-It.
Go ahead.
Okay. Because that's what they tell me. Okay. And I believe my own hype, like other people in this world. Anyway.
We have a dispute about that occasionally.
Anyway, let me ask you a question. Does your dehumidifier drain automatically or you have to empty the bucket?
We still have the bucket type.
Okay. So without having to buy a new dehumidifier, what you can buy is a condensate pump. And you can see them on Amazon. They're for air conditioning systems. And what you do is you have your dehumidifier drain into this condensate pump. These pumps are only about $20, $30, $40. And you have it drain into that. And then that comes with a long plastic tube that you run to wherever, to a drain, to the outside, I don't care where. And you set that up together and you let that run together. And that way, if you run your dehumidifier, you set it to, and you don't have to set it to, like I said, 50%. Set it to 60%, but it will keep that level of humidity down. And especially during the summer, the problem with the summertime is we have high humidity out here, but the outside temperature is 80 to 90 degrees. Mm. Now, remember, 80 to 90 degree air can hold a lot of moisture. When you take that same air and throw it into a cool basement, all that water condensates on all the surfaces. So you need to do that dehumidification. And that, I guarantee, if you do that, you come home, your whole house will smell great because 75% of the humidity in a house comes from the ground, not from showering or plants or all that stuff, unless you got crazy amounts of plants and you shower 24/7.
Right.
Okay, but most of it comes from the ground.
Well, it's almost time to go. Do you all have a closing message?
Yes. So we next time we're on, we should tell all of America how to go forth and fix, save energy, money, and
do it safely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me, Al and Larry. I've been speaking to Al and Larry Ubel, our gurus of how to.